This is Circulating Ideas. I'm Steve Thomas. My guest today is John Kraska. He's the executive director of Every Library, the political action committee for libraries. You can find them at everylibrary.org or on facebook.com/everylibrary. Circulating Ideas is brought to you with support from the University of South Carolina School of Library and Information Science and from listeners like you. John, welcome back to Circulating Ideas.
Steve, it's always fun to be here. Thank you.
You've been on a few times before talking about the Every Library and everything you guys are doing, but can you give the kind of the quick elevator speech for the people who haven't heard the previous episodes and don't know much about Every Library, about what Every Library is?
Oh, sure. Every Library is the nation's first political action committee for libraries. We're set up in order to help local library communities when there's a fight for funding. That funding fight might be at the ballot box. We've done 63 campaigns to date where we've helped take a library community to the ballot and had a good conversation with the neighbors, with voters, about the funding formula for the library, the funding future for the library. It might be operations, collections, programs, services, staffing, or facilities. The other kind of fight that we help libraries with is one where they've got to talk to a city council or a county government. It might be a town board. It might be a township. Some funding partner in a municipal kind of way. When you don't have to take something or you can't take something to the ballot, you still need to be able to have your strategic plan, your building plan, your hopes for the community funded. And we use the term fight in both the ballot box mode as well as in the negotiations mode, because oftentimes there is a fight in the community. It tends to be around, well, any tax is a bad tax. It tends to be around, why do we need libraries? Everything's already on the internet. But in that conversation that we try and help those communities have with those library communities have with the rest of their town, their township, their county, their board, their joint powers authority, their district, there's a lot of hope involved as well. So how do we bring out what works when the library is properly funded better? What is going to be left on the table? And usually it's human lives that are going to be left behind. The folks who won't have the pre-K literacy services, the job skills creation, the access to the internet that helps them take an idea from idea to market. We help the community as a political action committee, the library community as a political action committee, talk about plan A, what happens if it passes, plan B, what happens if it fails. And we also spend a lot of time helping the library community show off the librarians. And when I say librarians, I mean all staff. I mean everybody who works there, because there is a lot of data that indicates that voters, that constituents, that donors even, want to see not just the institution and what the institution's going to do, like the where's my money going to go question answered, they also want to see who's working there and how the librarians, how the folks who do the transformational work need the right kind of resources. We've extended our work this past year, this 2017 year, in a particular way to also help fight for funding for school library communities too. As a political action committee, we have set up, with help from Follett Learning, a new website called SaveSchoolLibrarians.org, which is intended to allow any school library stakeholder group anywhere to help get out the word to local stakeholders about a challenge to the library's budget, the school library's budget, or to the workforce, if a school librarian's job's under threat. So overall, as a political action committee, we're donor-supported. We have a nice group of donors from the corporate community, the vendor community within libraries, like Follett and Demco and EBSCO and Mango Languages and BrainFuse, etc., Rosen Publishing in particular. And those are joined by individual donors around the country. So it's just regular folks. It's a lot of non-librarians, which is really edifying, who donate to help support our work. And that allows us to do all of that political activity on behalf of public and school libraries pro bono for free for those library communities. And that's a key differentiator for the kind of work that we're doing. And it's a key element of I'm very proud of the fact that we can do this work pro bono for library communities. It allows us to bring best practices to bear It allows us to tailor things based on what the community needs rather than what we want them to do specifically. And the work that we're doing as a political action committee also extends to this 1 million Americans for Libraries campaign, where we're trying to reach more folks from around the country to have them, well, kind of in place, if you will, when we need that kind of public support for a school librarian whose job's under threat, or a local community who's having trouble moving a ballot measure or an idea forward for funding, or for some of the big issues that are affecting the library advocacy ecosystem on a state-by-state basis. There's lots of budget challenges out there. On a federal basis, we're seeing some good progress made on the Save IMLS campaign, as well as the innovative approaches to literacy funding formula for school library programs. And that happens because, well, we're trying to get those folks together.
Yeah, it was nice to get some good news with the IMLS funding. I mean, knock on wood so far.
Absolutely. I mean, we're not setting a legislative agenda. We're supporting the legislative agenda. And it's great to hear that things are progressing well within the Beltway.
And you brought up the 1 million Americans for Libraries campaign, and that's kind of the big push you guys are doing right now. And is that sort of just trying to, as you said, kind of almost gathering an army so that you can kind of, when there's a fight that needs to get done, you can instantly kind of activate people all over the country to start fighting for libraries?
That's right, Steve. The chance to be able to build a group of regular Americans, just everyday folks, people who are not employed in or volunteering at or in elected office for a library. You know, the great hope of every single library advocacy seminar, workshop, conference session that I've ever attended has been get somebody else to advocate for you. It's been the theme of every single program. We're trying to do that. And we're trying to put it into operation in a way at scale that lets us bring enough regular Americans along to either send that letter, that email to Congress about IMLS and IAL, to send a letter or an email to the state senators and state representatives for funding problems in places like Mississippi or Montana or Connecticut, to address the school board, the superintendent, in a school district where they're cutting. You need a big enough pool in order to be able to do that. We saw with the Save IMLS campaign that, at saveimls.org, we activated about 17,447 people. That was with the national call to action on the legislative agenda for IMLS, and with four different state partners, plus one other national partner, ALEA, where we were able to bring out, well, the interesting thing is that it's kind of a ratio, and it's a lot of math here. It's kind of simply reduced to math here. We had about 180,000 people that we could reach on Facebook at the time when this broke on March 16th, when the president decided to zero out IMLS and IAL. And about over the campaign, over the active part of the campaign, about 10% of those people came out and took an action, just regular folks. If that ratio, well, I mean, is it 10%? I think a lot about the 80-20 rule too, Steve. I think about 80-20, you know, right. 20% of your people give you 80% of your production. Great. Can we get 1 million of those people instead of 180,000? Like, it really comes down to that. It's pretty simple. I have to think that there are more than, well, right now we're bumping up against 250,000 people on our list. We've grown, you know, very nicely as part of this campaign. And yet I have to think that there's more than 250,000 people, regular Americans, our neighbors, our family, our colleagues, who care. Right. And if we can get to that 1 million person mark, I think that the 80-20 rule, or even if it's the 10% ratio, kicks in, we can change from save IMLS, save the school librarian, save whatever. We run a lot of save campaigns in this industry. If we can get to that 1 million mark, or even a 3 million human mark, can we shift this conversation from save the funding to fix the funding, or here's our funding proposal? You know, I look with a lot of admiration at what the Sierra Club does, what the Human Rights Campaign does, what the ACLU does, what the NRA does, even. I mean, the American Enterprise Institute. I don't particularly agree with all of those organizations I mentioned politically, but they've got between 3 million and 5 million people, regular Americans, just friends, family, folks, neighbors. They can set an agenda.
Right.
I would like to be in a position to help our local stakeholders at schools and in public libraries. I'd like to be in a position to help our state partners for state library associations and state school library associations. I'd like to be in a coalition environment for national issues where we can help bring, well, 80-20 on a million Americans, 10% of a million Americans to bear on this. That's our exciting hope, I think.
Yeah, because the thing like you're saying about all these save campaigns all the time, being in crisis mode constantly is exhausting to people.
Yeah. Yeah, and it never lets you change the frame. You know, if it's always let's hold the line on last year, let's hold the line on what we used to have.
Right.
No. Let's get a little more proactive with the asks. I mean, I'm very excited right now about what's going on in New Jersey. For example, they have put together the New Jersey Library Association has put together an extraordinary opportunity through Trenton, where they have a statewide ballot measure now, asking the voters to approve a quarter of $1 billion in construction funding. You know, it's the way that the mechanism works in the state of New Jersey. The state assembly, the state assembly has to pass it. The governor signs it, and then it goes to the voters for final approval. That proactive agenda for new funding in New Jersey, gold star, fantastic, absolutely wonderful. And I can tell you that over the last couple of years, I've seen it. New Jersey Library Association has built out a good list of just regular, reachable New Jerseyites, New Jerseyans. I don't know what the right word is. I live in Illinois. But that's a component of it. How do you advance a legislative agenda rather than just hold the line? It's people.
So do you guys do a lot of work with state organizations like that?
We do. New Jersey is not right now on this short list of partners. Let me just say it like that. I'm not trying to take any credit for what they're doing. They're doing extraordinary work. And yet we're working very closely right now with Mississippi, Washington State, Mississippi Library Association, Washington State Library Association, the Illinois School Library Media Association, the Florida Association of Media Educators. We do a lot of work with California Library Association as well. We've hosted events, fundraising events with the Black Caucus of ALA. We've hosted events, or we've worked on the Save IMLS campaign with ALIA, which is the American Indian Library Association. We're trying to be a good partner in the advocacy ecosystem, and really trying to. Well, one of the big things I get to do this coming weekend is send out the list of all of the people that we currently have identifiable by state to each of our state library partners on the public library or multi-type state library association side or the school library association side, because I want them to have, well, it's one of our organizational values. Let's share the data. Here's the contact info. These are all human beings who have opted in to receive information and to get calls to action about library advocacy. Every library keeps going with our approach. We are looking forward to giving those contact information elements to our state partners and to our state colleagues when they're not necessarily like full-fledged partners. We've got some good full-fledged partnerships going, but it's important to us that folks hear from, well, as close to the issue as possible. And we'd like to encourage those partners and those colleagues in the state associations to help us grow that main list, that master list, that 1 million Americans list. We're share and share alike here.
Yeah, and I know you guys obviously can't be everywhere that you want to be and manage every campaign that asks you for help. But so I think part of the way that you guys have addressed that is you have a book that you have about winning elections. Can you talk about putting that book together and how you guys came up with that?
Yeah, no, that was a fun project to do. My colleague and EverLibrary co-founder Patrick Sweeney and I have worked on that one diligently. Patrick is the primary author on winning elections and influencing politicians for library funding. That book is part one of a two-part series that we're doing with ALA Neil Schumann. The first book, the Winning Elections one, is focused on the Yes campaign and how you can build out an active, engaged public engagement campaign. I said engaged public engagement campaign. That's what I mean. the Yes campaign, getting somebody to move as a voter or a constituent or a resident from simply being, well, you know, what's their own personal attitude? It might be as a believer in the library. Well, how do you update their nostalgia? How do you activate their belief? That's detailed in the book. Or they might be somebody who is kind of rationally ignorant, but maybe favorably disposed to the library because the library does work. The librarians do the work, I should say, that they also care about in terms of, you know, early childhood or workforce development or community growth. Patrick and I detail how to activate those people as well. And then because this is a book about political activity, we also get into how do you answer opposition? Well, how do you anticipate opposition? How do you neutralize it? But then how do you answer it? The book is intended for any library campaign anywhere to use, whether it's going to the ballot or taking something through a city council and you need the grassroots kind of activity, which you do. Or it's also intended to help inform a discussion in the profession, especially in library schools and iSchools, about political literacy. How do we build out a more politically literate library workforce? Well, we hope that this is going to be adopted as a textbook. Likewise with book number two, which right now is coming together. It'll be released, I hope, in the middle of 2018. We're holding it right now pending the redo or the decennial rerun, I should say, of the From Awareness to Funding study that OCLC and now ALA is doing this fall. They're expecting to release that data set in February, I think, at midwinter. And we would like to take a look at it before we finish the book. If things have changed, right. If things are different, if things are the same, we need to be we'd like to be the first book out there about how to take that voter data and put it to work on an informational campaign. That's what book two is about. How do you organize the staff? How do you organize the board? How do you talk to the friends and the insiders and the foundation folks? How do you get the informational campaign on public time with public money as public employees or public officials out into the world in a strident way as well? So, but book one, Winning Elections, stands on its own. And it is intended to be a prep guide as much as it is intended to be a strategic and tactical bit of advice. We do love to be able to work with folks on an individual basis and communities on an individual basis. That's why we exist, is to get into the weeds if you need us. If you can read the book and be inspired and pick up some great tips, well, then we've done our job too. But I don't want to suggest that we're moving away from that direct contact with campaigns. That's right, our bread and butter. You know, we've got seven on the ballot, November 7th, 2017. We'll have probably 22 or 24 libraries that we're working with in 2018 as well.
Do you have any of those campaigns that you want to give any detail on? Or if not one of those, maybe one of those from, because we haven't talked in a little while, maybe from the November 2016 elections that went well?
Sure, sure. One of the highlights for November of 2016, and we ended up doing 24 library campaigns in 2016. Our total on wins right now is about $220 million in stable tax funding on an annual basis for those campaigns. And our total number of wins is 46 overall. One of the big highlights for me last year was Gannett, Pennsylvania, where there was that library was had already been closed for about half of 2015 because their funding formula was way out of whack. The municipality that they served, the approach to how funding is done in Pennsylvania is unique in the country, truly, where the ratio of state aid to local aid and the maintenance of effort, be that as it may, they were set to close. And we were able to help that small library, which was already operating at halftime, come together as a staff and a board and a group of real true library advocates and stakeholders in the community to come together and run a really, really powerful information campaign that told the truth to the community about what happens if we lose this library. And to be able to operationalize a get out the vote campaign through Every Library's support that touched a lot of humans in town about, well, what do we believe? What do we value? Who are we as Gannett, Pennsylvania? That was a nice win. That was a real nice win. To be able to keep that library open was a big deal in 2016.
Wow, so good news from November 2016. What a strange things.
Yeah, right. But we were also on that same day, we had a loss in Douglas County, Oregon.
Yeah, that was a sad one.
That was a very sad one. And right now I understand that the library is being kind of held open in a few places through volunteers. And I can't imagine running a public library system in this day and age on just volunteers. The funding formula there was really out of whack. And the lack of funding because of the local economy and some of the attitude about any tax is a bad tax that made it really, really difficult, if not impossible, to have a good conversation about, well, I mean, these are folks who, there's a lot of folks in the community who want a library, not just for themselves, but for other people. And yet, at the same time, this any tax is a bad tax approach, the idea that tax is theft, the idea that, somehow or another, we're being bamboozled when we make a decision to fund ourselves progressively to make sure that there is a common good, it's a bit toxic. And that is not – Douglas County is extreme because they are closed as a public library, publicly funded library system. And it's pervasive, man. It's pervasive in even – like we were able to overcome it in Gannett, but it is present in every single community that we're working in. To talk about the value system that we have as a library community, to talk about what smart, limited, and targeted taxes do to leverage early childhood education outcomes, to create opportunities for people to find their first, next, or best job, to have an anchor institution in the community for arts and education and culture, great. How about an anchor institution in the community for business development and the retail community? Like we have to up the rhetoric on our side, the very true and positive rhetoric on our side about how the library is well, it's not any tax, it's the library tax.
So when you hit people like that are the completely stonewalled, every tax is bad, I know you're not speaking to them, but are you mostly trying to sort of work around them and mobilize the rest of the community to overpower that?
That's a great question. The key to successful conversations with the any tax is a bad tax crowd, I don't want to use the word community, is time. You need to approach them early in the process. As a public library, you have a responsibility to approach all of your constituencies and to talk about how the library has been efficient with the use of public funds, how the library has identified through its strategic plan or its building plan a fundable path forward that improves lives and shares a common set of values, whether you're a progressive, a conservative, or a libertarian, about how we should be neighbors together. To do that with a little bit of time, it might be, well, it's certainly more than 6 weeks before the election. It's certainly more than the 6 months or even 90 days before the election when it's all public. You got to get in the trenches with these folks ahead of time. One of the things that we always hope for is that they'll agree that this is not just any old tax, that this one is particularly useful in the community. But if it turns out that they don't, how do we answer the opposition? How do we answer the opposition on the political side, on the vote yes side? That conversation is one of values, of sharing what we believe about our community, what our hopes are as well. And it's to stridently engage. And let me tell you, on the information only side, on the library side, mm-hmm. it's to make sure that fake news doesn't take over that campaign. There's a lot of disinformation that gets out there.
Yeah, that's the trouble, me, and that's always kind of been a thing of disinformation campaigns has always kind of been a thing. But yeah, it's so ramped up now, and it's integrated into just everybody's life now, thanks to getting into social media and things like that. And just
Every single library that we ever talk to, whether it's through a blog post or in person, because we're working with them directly. Our strident advice for 2017 and 2018 is to engage with the truth any fake news that comes out about your campaign. If you don't answer it and it goes unanswered, then the public assumes that it's true. They have no reason otherwise because you didn't answer it.
Right. It's not a bee that if you just keep ignoring it, it's going to go away.
So. It doesn't go away. It does not go away.
So the last thing I wanted to really talk about was you guys also recently launched a journal, The Political Librarian. Sure. Can you talk a little bit about that, of the how you came up with the idea of doing that? And I know Dustin's kind of in charge of that, but what's going on with that?
So we launched the journal back in 2015 with Lindsay Sarin from University of Maryland as our series editor. And Lindsay's been a fantastic colleague, but she's looking at her time and said it's time for somebody else to take over. So we're very pleased to have Dustin Fife now from Colorado, formerly in Utah, in Gunnison there in Colorado. Dustin is now a series editor for the journal. The journal is intended to work on public policy and tax policy for libraries. Can we have a new conversation about public policy and tax policy issues that impact libraries, whether it's public, academic, or school libraries? How do we choose to fund ourselves through taxes? How do we choose to organize ourselves as a library community for maximum impact? You know, what's the board structure? What's the legal structure? What's the cooperative approach to taxes? Mm-hmm. That public policy discussion is an important one to have, and it's not really well traveled yet. We've had three issues. They've been good issues, and I've been very proud of them. We're looking forward to having three issues in the next 14 months. Our call for papers is open right now for the December 15th issue. Call for papers closes November 10th of 2017. We're looking for two issues in 2018 to continue that conversation, to expand that conversation. We don't need it to be peer reviewed, though we have a very good editorial board for peer review activity. And that's a thrill when we can help contribute to somebody's CV, and we can help contribute to the corpus of scholarly discussions. And we also feel that this is such an open field, if you will, about public policy and tax policy and how it affects libraries of all types, that we're looking to have white papers presented. You know, maybe it's a conference presentation if you want to adapt, or it could be opinion pieces as well. Dustin and his team of editors is looking to shape a conversation together, and we are looking to advance a discussion even outside of the library field. There's a lot of topics to touch. And I'm hoping that the Political Librarian will allow for a leavening of the conversation around policy, to take some of the data that we know from practice and praxis within libraries. What are the good, what are good inputs for library work? Tax inputs, personnel inputs, talent inputs. What are the key outputs that happen, and what are the impacts? Yeah, from a praxis perspective, we know a lot about how to improve a particular library program. But from a policy perspective, how do we take those programs as models, potentially, and move them across the country in a way that's not just ad hoc, but is truly fundable? That conversation with the Political Librarian, I mean, I invite anybody who's listening who's got a bee in their bonnet or an idea in their back pocket who wants to explore it to reach out, because we'd really like to start pushing the envelope on this.
Yeah, don't just write another Twitter thread. Go write an article and submit it to the Political Librarian.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, you can serve. If we're taking opinion pieces, you know, like, give me your opinion. Let's dialogue about it, not just with every library, but with the industry. We've got an ISSN. We are too legit to quit now. it's hosted as on the Open Scholarship platform at the University of Washington in St. Louis. So it'll be in. It is certainly in the discourse right now.
Well, that's what I like about what you're doing there, and then what you talked about even with the book and the upcoming book, is that you're also not just working on these campaigns, but you're also trying to keep the conversation going within the profession so that we can all kind of fight this kind of political battle.
You know, 40 years ago, man, we figured out how to do interlibrary loan, and I don't mean that from a logistics perspective, though that's pretty epic. I mean it from a taxation perspective. You know, like, interlibrary loan and resource sharing is a massively useful tax equalization scheme if I can use the word scheme like the British do.
Yes.
You know, it is. I mean, really, when you get right down to it, communities that cannot afford a robust collection receive equalization of their collection through interlibrary loan. You know, like cooperative purchasing that is done either, you know, through a series of MOUs and let's do this because it's nice, or we put limited tax dollars to work and leverage the hell out of it because we've got intergovernmental agreements, not just MOUs.
Right.
If we've done that once, we could do that again. You know, what does it look like to have a multi-state solution for library funding? You know, what does it look like for a multi-state? I don't know. That's why I'm asking the profession. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, well, we got to talk about this stuff and work it through. And you guys are being a good, I think, conduit for that, of keeping the conversation going. So
I'm thanks for saying
obviously
that.
A good a fan of keeping conversations going. So.
Right.
So if people want to get involved with Every Library to donate, or I guess more specifically even to get their friends and family involved with the 1 Million Americans campaign, where do they go and how do they get more information about that?
Well, we're looking to build the Million Americans for Libraries on the Every Library Facebook page. It is important to invite people to be a part of it. You know, to share something on your own, you know, share the Every Library Facebook page on your own social media and ask people to like it as well. If they like it, we can get to them. If they don't like it, we have to pay a lot of money to get to them. Part of what we do is paid advertising. Part of our the donor money that we put to work is on campaigns for public library funding. It's partially on advertising for awareness for these school library campaigns. And it's also to build the list of reachable Americans. I'd rather do it with your own personal network, folks. I'd rather do it with your own personal network. Your friends, your family, your colleagues, your neighbors, to be able to say to them, libraries, that you value libraries, if you value libraries like I do, liking this Every Library Facebook page puts you in a context where you can get information and you can respond to calls to action. God, Steve, there's so many towns that we've worked with where the day after the election and it's a loss, or the day after the school board votes no on keeping the librarian in the largest classroom in the school, where somebody comes up to one of the stakeholders and says, if I had only known, I would have helped.
Right.
I'd like to fix that. So getting people to like the Every Library page, asking people to like the Every Library page is a key element. From there on, we'll work on matriculating them from being kind of unaware to aware, or matriculate them from being advocates to activists, which I think is really key. So sharing it on your own social media, sharing it in facebook.com/everylibrary. On our everylibrary.org site, we've got a lot of news and information on our action.everylibrary.org page. Mm-hmm. We would invite anybody who wants to donate to donate. A monthly donation right now. Our average monthly donation is about $7.24 a month, which is really, you know, great. I'd love it if you came in and if somebody came in and did it for $10, though. You know, we want to move that average up,
right,
because the dollars that we put to work on campaigns, the Jeanette story, the Douglas County story, in both of those contexts, we provided early money to the local Vote Yes committee. In Jeanette, it was less dollars than it was in Douglas County. Douglas County was actually our single biggest expenditure in 2016 to the Yes campaign. It was less dollars because it's less humans that they've got to go out and reach. You know, there's a ratio. That being said, we put that donor dollar to work for those wins to reach other Americans to help, you know, change the conversation to save right now the librarians in the schools, to save the federal or state funding formulas. And then if folks want to be a part of the Save School Librarians campaign, that's at saveschoollibrarians.org. If you know about a crisis, we want to hear about it because we'd like to step up and bring our networks to it.
And if you're ever at a conference, make sure to go to buy a ticket to an Every Library party, because they throw very good parties. And my wife is still jealous that I got to meet Peter Sagal at your Chicago party this year.
Yeah. Peter from Wait, Don't Tell Me. That was pretty awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, she still ribs me about that one. She's like, you should have invited me. It's like, well, you were in Atlanta, so.
Well, Steve, I mean, you know, you should have. Let's be honest.
Oh, well.
Hey, Real quick, man, I want to
Sure.
mention one thing that we didn't touch on that is an emerging area
Okay.
of our work. Real quick, with the journal, that's scholarship, that's opinion, that's something that gets included in a corpus of scholarly work. We're also though working to help move the mindset of the public in an active way. We've got a new magazine for the public that we're alpha level working on.
Okay.
And our colleague Oleg Kagan from California is our editor for the magazine. It's on Medium, you know, the Medium site. It's medium.com/everylibrary. And we're looking to have a conversation with the public, not with other practitioners, not with the profession, but with the public about two big things right now that we've identified as being shortfalls and things that actually topics that activate people by updating their awareness of what the librarians do every day. One of those is, how is the library a solution for parents, pre-K all the way through, you know, high school? How is the library how are the librarians partners with parents? It could be reading difficulties. It could be the joy of reading. It could be different learning styles. It could be making and crafting. We're pushing that out. Those stories that are written by a lot of librarians and also some non-librarians in through our Facebook page to that currently 250,000, hopefully 1 million Americans soon, again, to help shift that perspective. The other channel that we're looking to publish on, and we're doing a lot right now, is with the library and the librarians as a solution for business development for entrepreneurs and for starters. Not just workforce development, which is key, don't get me wrong, but how does somebody who needs a co-working space identify the library as a valuable one and one that they want to support in the long term? How does somebody look at business reference and databases as what they really are, which is market intelligence and analytics? And then the other part that we're publishing right now through November 7th is our artist in residence program. Kevin Moore, he's a librarian and editorial cartoonist out in Portland. Kevin is our 2017 artist in residence, and we're featuring his cartoons, which are definitely with an editorial and a political slant about libraries. We're in week 5 right now on medium.com/everylibrary. I think this morning's post today when we're recording is our feature. It's fun to be able to bring the arts to this political discussion and the great history of political cartooning. You know, the intersection of Ben Franklin here is really interesting. You know, the Free Library of Philadelphia and the Aurora, the newspaper that published, which was really, you know, full of editorial cartoons. Yeah, that's been a lot of fun. And if folks are looking to write for a consumer market, for a public market, the medium.com/everylibrary site is certainly one where we'd love to chat.
Well, that's great. I didn't even know about that one. I think I've seen some of the posts on the Facebook page. I didn't really realize they were going out to Medium. So,
yeah.
Well, very cool. Yeah, everybody go check that out. So I will go check it out right after I get off the call with you.
I appreciate that, Steve.
All right. Do you have any other words for the listeners before we go, or anywhere you want to send them for more information?
No, I think we're good. I mean, facebook.com/everylibrary right now, helping folks like the page helps us reach folks who care about libraries when there's both a crisis and, God help us, an opportunity.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, John. And everybody go visit there and donate if you can and just help spread the word. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Circulating Ideas is produced by Steve Thomas in the suburbs of Atlanta, with support from the University of South Carolina School of Library and Information Science and from listeners like you. Find out how you can help support the show by going to circulatingideas.com and clicking on support. Help others find the show by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the show at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Overcast, or your podcast app of choice. Follow the show on Twitter at @CircIdeas or the show's Facebook page. Our music is by Pamela Klicka. Thank you for listening, and keep circulating your ideas.